All right. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here this morning. I want you to know I look at sharing the Word of God as a great privilege and nothing less than that. It is a great privilege for me to be up here. We want to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. I'm going to be reading out of the King James Version, so if it sounds a little unfamiliar with that, that's why, okay? It is a sanctioned version. But get your Bibles out, turn to Acts chapter 26. You guys up there, if you start falling asleep, I'm going to call on you, okay, to read. All right. Acts chapter 26, verses 12 to 23. It says, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saving none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." Praise God for his word. The book of Acts is an exciting book. Just got done reading it. And really what I'm going to share with you here this morning is what the Lord's been touching my heart in light of this book. All right? This book, it's called the Acts. You could call it the Acts of the Church, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. But something in this book made a difference worldwide. And I want to say that that difference is the same today. And there's something that each one of us have that can make a difference. In the world we live in our surrounding communities, the people we know, the people that we look at. I call this portion of Scripture the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Verse 16 says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, of those which in the which I will appear unto thee." Now this is Paul. Now, Paul got saved, and if you remember who Paul was, he was Saul. God changed his name to Paul, and Saul persecuted Christians. And he persecuted him so much that Christians died. And he gave it amen. When Stephen was stoned to death, he was there. And God interrupted his life, and God saved him. And this man became a radical in the world. He had something that he was compelled to give to everybody he was around. And he suffered for it. And he was imprisoned for it. And he was beaten for it. And here he is standing before King Agrippa. And this is not really a trial. It's one of those where they all wanted to get together to hear what he had to say. Because the trial had already been, he appealed unto Caesar, and to Caesar and to Rome is where he was going to go. So he's in between places here. But he's before King Agrippa, and there's a whole host of people there listening to him and watching him. And he uses this as an opportunity to share the love of Christ. And I want to say the Great Commission is to be a witness for Jesus Christ today. What we need are witnesses today. And this morning, each one of us here is to be a witness. And it has not been asked us to do that. It hasn't been put before us if it's convenient for you. It's not even optional for a Christian. It is something God desires each one of us to be, is a witness for Him. Don't be falling asleep. Okay, remember, if I see you pumping oil, I'm going to call on you. Okay? Got that, Josh? All right. What is a witness? You know, in a court of law, you know what they do? They bring people in as witnesses. And why do they do that? Well, it's because they have seen something. Or they have heard something. Or they know something. And that's what a witness is. One who gives evidence of what he has seen, what he has heard, and what he knows. And I ask the question today, are we witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ today? Is my life proclaiming what I have seen, what I have heard, and what I know about Jesus Christ? Does my life proclaim that? Does it exemplify that? Now, right at the offset here, you know, we have not been called to be Billy Grahams, okay? One of the greatest evangelical preachers of the day. He has preached everywhere with the gospel. And what's made him famous is he would always say, the Bible says. It is the Bible says. And we haven't all been called to that. But we have been called to witness for Jesus Christ. In every place in our life, in every aspect, in front of every person, every encounter that we have, we call ourselves Christians. You know what that means? We are to represent Christ. If you go into another country and you're an American, you stand out. Especially if you go to like a place like Nigeria, okay? Or way down into Mexico or India, China. These places, you know what? They look at you and go, oh, there's an American. You got the flag on. I mean, everybody sees it. All right? You're dressed like it. Your camera's hanging in the right place. And, you know, you're an American. Do people say that about us as being Christians? Ah, there's a Christian. Ah, there's one. I can tell that. It's because of their witness. What am I witnessing today? I'm witnessing something. It's either Christ or it's something else. God wants witnesses today. He has commissioned us to witness. Did you know that? What does the word commission mean? The giving of authority and power to perform a specific task or duty. God has commissioned each one of us, and you know what He's given us? Authority and power. Did you know that? He's given it to you in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I realize that? Paul had this kind of authority. And you can say, well, that was Paul. I mean, he was special. I mean, you know. Well, you know who Paul was? He was the chief of sinners. That's what he says about himself. So if God can give the chief of sinners this kind of power and authority and commission him to bear witness, to give evidence of what he has seen and heard and what he knows about the Lord Jesus Christ, he will do that, and he does do that for each one of us. In every place that we are at in our lives, he has called us to witness for him. Okay, look there in Acts chapter 26. Oh, first let's go to Acts chapter 1. Look what it says in Acts chapter 1. Acts 1. You know, we're not going to get away from this with some excuse. Did you know that? To be a witness for the Lord. When you stand before the Lord, I want to encourage you, none of your excuses are going to work with God. None of them will. Because He has said, I've given you everything. I've equipped you with everything to stand for me. And we can give all kinds of, well, I'm not like this. I can't speak like that person. You know, I just don't have the charisma. You don't know the problems I have. Well, God knows them. Who was it that said that he couldn't speak? Moses. Look what happened to him. I mean, when he spoke, you know, everybody listened. It was incredible. God commissions us. He gives us the power. And it says there in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth. Do you believe that today? There were guys back then, they just believed it. Look what happened. You're here. I'm here. Really, the gospel got out. It went out. They were faithful witnesses, and God gave them power. Did you know we have the same power today? Did you know that? We do. The Holy Spirit is the same today as He was yesterday, today, and forever. We have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Power He has given us to be His witness. Look here in Acts chapter 10. Look what it says there. The book of Acts is all about the Great Commission. Chapter by chapter, they just went out and they endured and they went out. These guys stuck it out. They had an audacity that we need to get back today for Jesus Christ. What makes the biggest difference in our lives? Should be the Lord Jesus. You know, some people are, well, I just use this as an example. I hope I don't offend anybody. You know, environmentalist, okay? And you talk to, or an animal rights person. Those are really great. Their cause is for this animal, this squirrel, or this groundhog, or this bat. They live for that. And they are so vocal about it, and everything they do in their life focuses on that. What is it that our life should focus on today? What is it that we should be adamant about and persistent about? What is it that we should be bold about? Our witness for the Lord Jesus. I ask you, what else do we have? When you put it in the right perspective, what else do we have? We are going to live upon this earth so many years, and then we are going to die. We live to die. As soon as we're born, we are destined for death. The thing that makes the difference in our life today is Jesus Christ and Him alone. And He says, I want you to be my witness. Acts chapter 10, it says here in verse 39, and we are witnesses of all these things which He did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree. That is what our life is to be consisted of. And that question keeps coming back to me. What is my life consisted of today? Really? What is my life consisted of? How am I going to go out? How am I going to end my life? Where's it going? What matters to me? What is important? Is it Jesus Christ? And I want to suggest to us that our life displays how important it is. Okay? Our life displays how important Jesus Christ is to us. If He's not very important, our lives show it. If He's important, our lives will show it. Come back here to Acts chapter 26. What is a witness? It's one who gives evidence. God wants to make us a witness. Isn't that what it says in verse 16? But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister. In some translations say servant and a witness. God says, this is what I want to do. I want to make you a witness. And you know what he says? He says, rise and stand up. God is presenting an opportunity in our lives to be engaged in that which is eternal. He wants us to be engaged in that which is eternal. He wants us to see something. We get up in the morning, we shower, we shave, we brush our teeth, we look in the mirror, we fix ourselves as best can be. We leave, we go to work, we conduct ourselves, we come home, we eat, we do whatever we do after we eat, we sleep, and then we do it again. Why? What is it that makes the difference for us? It is Jesus Christ. God is commissioning us to be involved with that which is eternal, that which is heavenly, that which is kingdomly, that which is a high calling, a holy calling. It is a calling back to Him. And He says, I want you to be my witness for that. Really, I do. I want you to witness for that. And he says to Paul, and Paul here in Acts chapter 26, he's giving his testimony when he got saved. And it says that he said, God said to me, rise and stand up. There's a nobility and there's a royalty of standing up before the Lord and saying, here I am. Here I am. Do I want that in my life? Do I want to be a witness for Jesus Christ? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't even have to tell me. But God wants us to search our hearts and say, do I really want this? And if we find ourselves saying, not really. Or we find ourselves saying, yes, but that's why we have the Lord. Remember, he says, I will make you a witness. We have one of the greatest callings of ever, of all time, is to be the Lord's. Does my life point to Jesus today? Every part, every involvement, every aspect, every decision, everything I do today, is Christ in there? Is he the focus of it? Or do I have my time for God Sunday morning? I've got to go get together with those people. All right? Well, guess what? You're one of those people. And you know, I don't want to sit over here because that person kind of bothers me or that, you know, but this is my Christian time. And that's it. What about the rest of the week? What about the rest of the day? 24/7. God wants us to be his witness. Everything that I do, everything that you have, is it Christ? Is it his? Have I come to grips with everything that I have? You know, I have 45 nieces and nephews. And one of my nephews, okay, he got his first set of golf clubs. And his brother wanted to use them. There was no way he was going to let him use them. There was no way. Because they were his, and he was worried about them and concerned about them, and it's mine, and I paid for them, and I worked hard for them. This is mine. You're not going to touch it. Well, you know what those golf clubs were for? Only him and him alone. And they weren't for Christ. Now, he's learned some things since. He's grown up a little bit. All right? But you know what? That's how we are with our lives. We want to have control of it. We don't want it to be touched. We don't want anything going on. We want what I want. God says, I got a different plan for you. The first thing I want to talk about is the disruption. The disruption. You know what we need in our life? A disruption. We do. An encounter with Jesus Christ. That is what we need. Look there, and it says in verse 15. And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." God wants to disrupt our lives. He wants to get right in there. Now, who was Saul? Or who was Paul? Paul was Saul. Paul, he was on his way to Damascus to drag Christians out of their home, to imprison them, to beat them, to cause them to suffer, to kill them. He persecuted Christians in a real way. He was vehement in the life that he had. He was focused in it. He was adamant about it. He was moving in that direction. And we are like that. Now, maybe we're not persecuting Christians, but we have our own way. We have our own thing. We have what we want to do, when we want to do it, how I want to do it, and no one can tell me otherwise. And that's how we are. God wants to disrupt our lives. He wants to bring us to a place where we surrender. And that's what happened to Paul here. Look there at verse 13. It says, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven." And right there, on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, God came to him. A light from heaven. God wants to illuminate our lives. God wants to come to us and do something different. It says, "Above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me." Do I want to be in that kind of light today? Does that light scare me? Because when we get into that place, it demands a response in our life. And we don't like to respond. We don't like to be pressured. We don't like to be questioned. We don't like to be evaluated. We do not like to be disturbed. How many of you like to be disturbed? I mean, really. Okay? How many of us like to be disturbed when we're doing something that I just want to do and I take pleasure in this and it's wonderful and great, so I think. Well, God wants to disturb it. And you know what? In that place, this is what he does. Verse 14. "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me." And that is exactly what God wants to do today. He wants to speak to us. And I'm not talking about you're asleep at night and you wake up and there's some vision and you got something in your room and you think you see lights and you see. I'm talking about something God wants to do in our lives, wants to touch our heart with. He wants to take and make a difference. It's called, he's speaking to you. And it says there, "Heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul." And God wants to be very specific, and God wants to be very pointed, and God wants to be very personal. And he says, "Why persecutest thou me?" And that's the issue today. The question is, what am I doing? What are you doing? It says, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." In other words, you know, you're not getting anywhere here. All right? You're not getting anywhere here. And God wants us to take that searching question, "What am I doing?" and evaluate our lives. When was the last time we evaluated our life? What am I doing? Why am I doing it? We don't like those questions because then it makes us think. It makes us answer them. We don't always like the answers. So we don't like the question. Okay, have you ever gone to somebody and go, "What are you doing?" Or have you ever wanted to say that? I have. I go, like, "What are you doing?" I mean, that just happens all the time. Well, that's what's going on in our lives. God looks to Bona and he says, "What are you doing?" And it's up to evaluate that. And we're disrupted in our lives so that we can make an evaluation, that searching question. And look what it says here, verse 15. "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Now, there's something wonderful that happens here in verse 15. What does Paul call Jesus? He calls him Lord. He calls him Lord. God disrupts our life. He wants us to have an encounter with him so that we come to that place and we say, Lord. This was Paul's conversion, but it was more than that. He came to a place where he confessed Lord. Now, you know what? Let's say Sonny was my Lord. What does that mean? That means I am to do what he says to do, when he says to do it, how he says to do it, with a good attitude, willingly. That's what we all want for our children, isn't it? Fathers, it's a good goal. You know, but that's what God wants for us. He wants us to surrender to him. You know, when I was growing up, my cousin and I, we would get into fights. I spent my summers with my cousin. We were about the same size and everything. And we got into some scrapes. I mean, you know, it was like all-out brawls. You know, and punching, hitting, wrestling, just getting hurt. And we would go for it until someone said, uncle. Which, back in my day, that means, I surrender. I give. That's what God wants in our life. And God is going to continue to disrupt our life and move in our life and point and touch those things in our life until we come to that place and we say, uncle. Or until we come to that place and we say, Lord. Now, Paul, we're not going to look at this, but in Acts chapter 9 was his conversion there in the book of Acts. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? That was the first question. That was the first thing that came from Paul's mouth. What do you want me to do? Do you know what we like to do? We like to do what we want, and then we go, Lord, would you please bless it? I think it's a wonderful idea. And everybody else thinks that too, by the way. And I've talked to the pros and the cons and the people, the yes and the no. Now, Lord, here, this is what I'm going to do. Bless it. No, God wants us to come to him and surrender and say, Lord, what do you want? You know what God wants? He wants us to be a witness. Second thing is the purpose. The purpose. There is a purpose for this. Okay? There is a purpose for this. Verse 22 says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those things which the prophets of Moses did say should come. What's the purpose of being a witness? Well, it's to give glory to God, yes. But it's something other than that also. It's others. It is others. When we finally realize why I am here upon the earth, oh, you will have peace. You will have contentment. You will have joy. You will have purpose in your life. You are on this earth not for yourself. Newsflash. I hope we see that. We are not here for ourselves. We are not here to be the top dog. We are not here to have everyone bow to us and cater to our needs. Did Jesus Christ do that? Not at all. He is our example. It says he came to serve and to give his life a ransom. For who? Everybody. Now, there are some people we like to be a witness to, and there are other people we don't like to be a witness to. Sometimes it's easy to be a witness. Sometimes it's not so easy to be a witness. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's awkward. Ever been in an awkward situation? Some people are just awkward. You stand around and you feel awkward. Okay? You get in awkward situations if you want to stand for the Lord. It's true. You just go for it. All right? We don't have everything. Well, let's look here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. My daughter gave me a time limit today. I think I've blown it already. All right? But we'll move along real quick here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jew nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be what? Saved. Why are we here? You know, we just got done with the book of Genesis. We got done with the life of Joseph. If you remember the story of Joseph, he was incredibly wronged. Okay? And in the last chapter, it talks about his brothers are trying to connive some way for him to forgive them, which he already did. And he tells him, he says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, for one purpose, to save many people alive. You know, you don't even know who Keith Green is? Older people, okay? Keith Green was a singer, okay? Died in an airplane crash, all right? And he sang about the Lord, and his songs were great. But some of his album covers, now that's dating me a little too. He had one album cover, and it was an island. And on this island were lots of people, okay? Tons of people. And then the sea was around it, and the sea was just real boisterous. And there were thousands of people in the sea. But there was only one or two people on the island, and all these people were drowning in the sea. There was only one or two on this island with their hands stretched out, helping those in the sea drowning. There was only one or two out of all the Christians that were already on the island that were willing to be a witness, that were willing to give their lives for the lives of others. That is what God wants in our life. That album cover affected me more than his songs did, because we are here for others. Now, verse 17. We'll go through this real quick. Verse 17. It says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send you. God wants to send us. We are in the place God has put us. And you can fuss and argue about how awful your situation is or how difficult it is. Or if I just had, you know, every day I drive by that big sign on the highway and now it's at $50 million. Okay, the other day it was at 260 some million. Someone won that. Now it goes back to so many million. All right. And it's like, people see that. And you know what people think? Oh, if I just had that, what a difference that would make in my life. Really, what a difference. And we think like that, not just about maybe $200 million, but we think about all kinds of things, you know. No, the difference is Christ. He has put us right where he's wanted. What are we doing there? What are we doing there? Everything that I'm doing there, does it point to Jesus Christ? Am I being a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? Does it show? Can people see it? And he has given us power, verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Look at what we have. We have the power within us. And that power is the Lord Jesus himself, that can take a soul and that can turn them from darkness to light, from death to life. See what we have. Every situation, every encounter can be a life-changing situation for someone. We don't think like that because it takes our time, it takes our effort, it takes that commitment, it takes something from us. If you've ever seen someone receive the Lord, and their life turned from darkness to light, there's nothing like it. That is what God has called us to. He has commissioned us to that, and he's given us that power. And we see the changing lives there in verse 18. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive what? Forgiveness. Hallelujah. Forgiveness of sins and inheritance. You know, God's got a place reserved for us in heaven. He does. If you don't know that, you need to know it. It's reserved for you. Among the sanctified, he's sanctifying us. He's making us holy for him and set apart for him. How? By faith that is in me. And Paul is before King Agrippa, and he's just telling him all this. But what he's really doing, he's preaching the gospel to him. He's preaching the gospel to the kings and all of his court and all the uppity people there. He's preaching the gospel to them. And the last thing we see is the commitment. The commitment. What is the commitment? Verse 19. And he tells it. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not what? Disobedient. And look what he said this is. He looked at this whole experience as what? Heavenly vision. You know, it says, without vision, the people perish. God wants us to take off those things that blind us. And he wants us to open our eyes to the heavenly and to the kingdom and to the eternal and that which is going to last forever, that which makes the difference. And he wants us to be committed to it. And I say the commitment is what? Obedience. Obedience. There's all kinds of places you can look in light of obedience. And we see obedience has a progression. Look what it says, verse 20. But showed first unto them at Damascus, and then at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. There's a progression, and God wants a progression in our life. From where? Moving forward, first, and then throughout, and then to. We go from here to here to here. To what? To be a witness. To be a witness for Him. Now, we don't ever retire from this. Did you know that? This is not, I'm going to do this for 60 years and I'm done. All right? And now I'm just going to have a life of kicking back and it's fun and, you know, enjoy my grandkids. By the way, I have one now, you know. And it is great. And I've hardly seen him, but it's already great. But God has something more for us than just retirement. Most guys, when they retire, they start dying because they don't have anything to do. God says, I've got plenty for you to do. You do not retire from the call of God, from being a witness, from the great commission we have upon the earth. Now look what it says in verse 1. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to what? Thank me and pat me on the back and make a statue and do something in honor of my name. No! What they wanted to do is kill him. If we're looking for recognition today for being a Christian, okay, the reality of it, it's not there. Paul says, the more I love, the less I am loved. That's not it. If that's what we always want, then that's our reward. Our reward is going to be greater. But there is going to be the danger if we make a commitment to obedience. And that danger is what? Rejection. People are going to dislike us sometimes. If you're a person that really likes people to like you, rejection just really is awful. Because you're so used, you want people to like you and you're friendly, and you know, but no. Our commitment goes through that. And the last thing we see about our commitment is the faithful message. Verses 22 to 23, it says, having therefore obtained help of God, and that's what God's going to do, He's going to be faithful to help us, I continue unto this day. Remember where he was. He was imprisoned. Shackles, chains. He says, I'm continuing. Sometimes we just don't feel like continuing. We feel like we're chained up and we can't. It's not true. I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saving none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And he says, King Agrippa, I have been faithful and obedient to the heavenly vision. God is commissioning us today to be a witness for Jesus Christ, to be that one that gives evidence, and not just verbal evidence, but we do need to give verbal evidence, by the way. Do you know that? How many of you got saved because someone spoke the gospel to you? You know what we like to do? I like to do this. I like to have my life share the gospel. And that's true. But there comes a time you need to open your mouth and share the gospel with someone. I am so glad someone did that to me. I got saved. You know? Got saved. God wants to make us a witness. He's given us all authority and power. He says, rise up and stand. Take this responsibility and this great privilege in our lives. Be disrupted. have an encounter with Jesus. Let that searching question bring us to that place of surrender. We have a purpose today, and that purpose is mankind. It is the very souls of men and women. They are leading their way. They are going. They are moving toward hell. They are moving toward destruction, toward eternity without God. Do you see that? That's where mankind is. Our purpose is to glorify God, and it is to bring life and light to others. We are sent by God. He gives us His power, and God will change lives. But He wants a commitment. Obedience. There's a progression to obedience. You start, and you go, and you go, and now all of a sudden, you're just going. There's a danger. Your life's at stake. It's all right. Praise God. Don't worry about it. God wants us to be faithful. Acts chapter 3. Last scripture. Acts 3. Acts 3, verses 13 to 15. The God of Abraham and the Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. My challenge for us today is to let God search our hearts. Where is that place that I'm not a very good witness today? And Lord, show me how to be a good witness in that place and do it. And let that be that starting point there, and then move from there. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you. We say we are indebted unto you. You have died for each one of us. And there upon the cross, you gave your life for our sins. And Lord, you brought eternity to us. And we thank you, Lord, that we're in your family. And we come to you now and we say we are inadequate. We are disobedient. We are rebellious. We don't want to do what you say. We love ourselves and our flesh. And Lord, we ask that you would change us. We ask, O Lord, that you would grab a hold of our hearts. Lord, that we would see that there is a great commission today from our Heavenly Father. And that commission is Jesus Christ. And Lord, you've given us life for others. And we ask, Lord, that you would cause us to be sensitive to this, and that we would say yes to it. We praise you, we bless you, we exalt you today. We thank you that you are our God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.